Good to be with everybody again this morning. Boy, great, gorgeous morning. Drove down from Birmingham this morning. We had a great, we called it Breakfast in Birmingham study this morning. And so this is two in a row, and then we're doing Kentucky tonight. So just another day, right? But I appreciate each one of you being here. It's great to be with everyone again. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. And you're going to want to keep a marker there in Ephesians. Probably be flipping back over to Acts 18, 19, and 20 as well. Okay, thank you, Larry. I'm Steve Gottberg, guest this morning here at Grace Bible Church in Montgomery, Alabama. And once again, great to be with you. So Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start right here. We need to just jump right in this morning. Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause. Remember a theme that we started 2 weeks ago? And we had a statement here from Miles Coverdale. It shall greatly, for those of you that may still have your copy from 2 weeks ago, it shall greatly help ye to understand the Scriptures, if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what followeth after. And it says here, for this cause, well, we can't really start there yet, can we, if we want to really follow this principle of taking things in context. Okay, and that's kind of the point there. Before we go on, and this will have some significance later, can you think back? We all remember an event in this nation's history, 9/11. Remember where you were when you first found out? And I'm seeing some heads going like this big time. Okay, that was almost 10 years ago. I guess in 2011 here, it'll be September 2011, it'll be 10 years. But you can all remember back then, can't you? And you remember pretty distinctly where you were when you heard about it. You probably remember who was around. Okay? So even 10 years ago, we can remember some pretty significant events in our lives and the people that were there. If I may just share with you a little. Okay? Thank you. The next one that comes to mind is, where were you when Kennedy was assassinated? And you remember that? Okay, I was kind of a pretty young guy, but I definitely remember my mother just breaking down. I mean, I remember coming around the corner in the kitchen, and that was 48, 47 years ago, something like that, 47, 48, 6, okay. You were in the 8th grade? And we can still remember that, can't we? So significant events in our lives, we can go back to those. You know, I remember it was 94 when... We left the great state of Alabama and moved to Chicago. and I'll never forget my oldest daughter, yes, Alex, and I'm thinking she's white. She's been married 3 years now. She was 7 at the time. And I can remember, like it happened yesterday, pulling out the street. And, I mean, she was literally, yeah, I'm telling on you, she was literally kicking the door. No, why do we have to leave, Papa? Can't you get a new job? Why do we have to leave, Papa? I mean, you know, you're talking about tearing you up. But the point was, she had a great group of people right there, and she did not want to leave them. She knew them that well. Well, we moved to Chicago, and we lived there about 5 years. And I remember we left Chicago to head to North Carolina. Why do we have to go? Can't you get a new job? These new businesses are... We had this great group of friends, and they didn't want to leave that great group of friends that they knew quite well. Didn't want to leave them. Got to North Carolina, and we lived there for the space of about 3 years. And, yeah, you guessed it. They got to know them pretty well. And when we left North Carolina to go to Houston, well, why do we have to leave, Papa? You know, we're all our friends, you know. They had a great group of friends is the point here. Like I said, there will be some significance to this later. But try to relate in your lives, okay, different groups of people that you've gotten to know well. And even though they may have been back there in the past, you know, we still communicate with that group in North Carolina. Matter of fact, Brenda, I don't know if you recall, But Brother Barry coming to visit, it was just before, I think just about a week or two before Y2K. And we were there in the mountains of North Carolina, and Barry came by and spent a day or two with us. Actually, you must not have come on that trip, but anyway, so Barry spent a little bit of time together, and like I say, it was about a week before Y2K, so we had a lot of interesting discussions of that non-event. But anyway, good group of people. We still communicate with them. We left there 2002, headed to Houston. And when we left, no, we don't want to leave the group of friends that we have here. You know, great group of friends. And even though that was 2002 when we left, the girls still communicate with their friends, okay? You know them well, even though it's 8 years later. Okay, Ephesians 3, where he says, for this cause, again, to keep our theme of keeping things in context, we probably better go back, because if he says for this cause, and if we're going to read chapter 3, we probably want to know what cause he's talking about to keep it in context. And what's that got to do with groups of friends and moving all over the place? So if we go back to Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to start in the middle of let me start at the end of verse 9 here. Let's just start right at the beginning of verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also. Now I want you to watch the we's, the ye's, the you's that we start seeing here. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay, if we go further down now, let's just go right to chapter 2. Okay, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now I really want you to start watching. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together by Christ. Oh, by the way, by grace ye were saved. I'm saying, oh, by the way, obviously the Bible is in parentheses there. Let's start verse 5 over and just read it as it says it. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay. We talk a lot, you know, about this thing, this other theme in 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth. And of course, and I'm going to do it smaller on the left side of the cross today, because I want to build out the right side a little bit. So for this won't be in the right symmetry, whatever. So back here, if we just call this, you know, Adam, the beginning of, I'll say, time as we know it, we have a space of about 4,000 years until the birth of Christ. And there's a period there, 33 years. The cross, Christ was crucified. The gospel, you know, why do we do all this anyway? Again, let's make sure we're clear about one thing. The only reason that we rightly divide the word is because the Lord dealt with different dispensations of time. He dealt with mankind, if you will, differently throughout your Bible, throughout history. And we need to make sure we find the right gospel. The gospel as it's laid out in 1 Corinthians 15. How that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose. Excuse me, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel of our salvation. So when He died and He hung on this cross, and He literally, as we went through last time after Jeff sang the old rugged cross and the other song we sang, the power in the blood. When Christ died on this cross, He shed His blood for our sins. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, right? Okay, so again, He died on that cross, was buried, third day, resurrected. Okay, the book of Acts, actually, we don't need to have all that here. Okay, and typically we call this the Old Testament. You know, Genesis through Malachi. Okay, then we have the birth of Christ. And in here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, dealing with really this three-year period for the most part. Okay, Christ's ministry to 12 men is the majority of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, then we have the book of Acts that picks up after the cross here. And we'll just draw time here. I want to draw Acts out pretty good. And this is the book of Acts. And while this is 4,000 years, you know, we've got about 40 years in here. But starting right in Acts chapter 1, the ascension of Christ into heaven. We have to pick the 12th apostle, Matthias being the 12th apostle in chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, you know, is Peter's famous sermon. Okay, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Okay, so Acts starts going through. And in Acts 9 is where Paul is saved. And interestingly enough, and while we're not here to go through a study of Acts today, but interesting enough, right away in Acts 10 is when Peter goes to Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And of course, you know, again, that's not today's study, but, you know, Peter at first is like, you know, not so, Lord. I've never done anything unclean. You know why? You know, he's calling Cornelius unclean because he's a Gentile. But interesting, right after Paul is saved in Acts 9 is when the very next chapter in the Bible, some people might call that a coincidence, right? The very next chapter in the Bible, we have Peter going to Cornelius, a Gentile, and then nothing again from Peter until Acts 15 when we have the council. All right, we're going to pick up here really looking at 17 to 20. Now, and then Acts, of course, ends in 28. And let's kind of put a hard stop there, and I'm really going to run out of room, but we have this thing that we call the grace dispensation. And at some point in the future, when the body of Christ is filled, okay, the Lord shall return for His body. Okay, the dead in Christ shall raise first. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the air to be with the Lord forever. Okay, but of course at that time we also know there's a 7-year period, great tribulation, and then the return of Christ for His 1,000-year reign on earth. Now, I want to talk to you about this period right here. Okay, we started in Ephesians 3, and this all will come back together. So, well, excuse me for a second. Technical difficulties. Okay. So let's go back to Acts 18. And again, keep your hand there in Ephesians. Remember in Acts 17, while we're all flipping back to 18, that was probably our final theme from 2 weeks ago, and I would always encourage you to make sure you keep that as one of your themes, you know, the Bereans, right? And what was the word that Paul used? The Bereans were more noble, exactly. And why were they more noble? Because they studied daily and they searched the things that were preached from a pulpit to make sure that those things that were said were so. And therefore, they were more noble. So anytime you hear anybody preach, whether it's here, whether you're at a Bible study in a home somewhere, make sure you study them out. Okay, never take anybody for what they're saying. This is the final authority, this King James Bible. Okay, Acts 18, and if you'll come to verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, and he had a vow. Okay, here, verse 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Okay, so this is the first time that Paul goes to Ephesus. Okay, Acts 18. Verse 18. And notice when he gets there in 18 here, where did he go first? The synagogue. Isn't that interesting? Let's flip back here. Okay, in 18, verse 4, when he's in Corinth. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Here again, he's going to the synagogue. I thought Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. What's he doing in a synagogue?
I have a question. I know this doesn't really have anything to do with anything, but he says he had a vow of shaving his head. What would that have to do?
Okay. I tell you what, if you'll allow me to continue, I think it'll all fit right in. You're going to be my straight person today. Usually it's Larry over here. Let me come back to that, Jeff, if I may. Okay, so Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, he's going to the synagogue in the beginning of 18 in Corinth and over here in Ephesus. You know, what is going on here? And by the way, here's what would happen. So verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Okay? What you'll find, so we call this period, okay, we call these, and I'm going to just say from Acts 9 to, 2:28, we call these Paul's Acts epistles. Okay, help me, which one are Acts Paul's epistles? Which books? Okay, Romans. What other books of the Bible that Paul wrote are considered Acts epistles? Corinthians, and we'll put 1st and 2nd. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Galatians, thank you. Okay? Paul's, just going through making sure I didn't miss one there. Okay, so Paul's Acts epistles, meaning he wrote these during, up until Acts 28. Okay, after Acts 28, when Paul's in prison, okay, would be his prison epistles. And again, we're not, didn't really leave a lot of room in here But so we'll just call from here to here the prison epistles. And help me. What are the what books make up the prison epistles? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. There's a few more than Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Help me. Philemon, Titus, and the Timothys. Okay? Now again, today's main premise, why do we rightly divide? To make sure we get the gospel, you know, the right gospel for our salvation. Now, Paul preached the same gospel. Let me make sure I'm real clear. Okay? Paul preached the same gospel all the way through. Where do we find the gospel of our salvation? 1 Corinthians 15:3. Okay? 3, 4, and 5 exactly. And that's an Acts epistle. Okay? So make no mistake about it. Paul preached the same gospel for salvation. Okay? But we may see some differences here between the Acts epistles and the prison epistles. And we just bring this today so it'll make sense about vows. I mean, without reading Scripture right now, you'd even see back in here Paul speaking in tongues, Paul healing people, signs. Why? Why? Because that's not true for today. I mean, if we're following everything Paul did in his whole ministry. By the way, never, never, ever try to get any of your doctrine out of this book right here. Transition is exactly the word, Larry. It is a book of transition, and there are so many transitions. It's a phenomenal book. By the way, if you have a chance to study under different people, absolutely, positively, do it. Absolutely do it. Now, test everybody by this word right here. And I think back when I was first meeting Brenda and Brother Barry, and Brother Barry and I attended, Brother Moore and Brother Lockhart did a new preacher's school for a week. It was about 25 years ago. And that's where Barry and I really got to know each other. And of course, we became very good friends from then, or after that time period, especially the last 5 years, talking at least weekly, right, Brenda? So sometimes, if not three or four times a day over the last 5 years. But my point is this. I think of the men I got to study under, especially 25 years ago. We had Brother Moore on Thursday nights about 2 miles from our house. Of course, we had Brother Jerry until he decided to evangelize the whole state of Texas. When he saw 22 million people, he drew this triangle between Houston, Austin, and San Antonio, and Dallas up here. He said, you realize there's 22 million people? And so he left us and headed to Texas. But so we had Brother Moore on Thursday. We had Brother Jerry. We had Brother E.C. Rhodes, who was not really part of, I'll just say, the Brother Moore Brother Lockhart group, but he's a rightly divider. And I still have a tape series that he did on the book of Acts. And it is a phenomenal study. And I still pull it out even whenever I can find a cassette player is the only challenge there. But the point is this. You can learn studying from different men. Praise God for the rightly dividing, the grace studies. That we need more. You know, we don't need fewer. We need more of them for absolutely sure. So, again, as long as we are testing everything by the Scriptures, we can learn different things. Now, I'll say this, be careful, because there was one other man, that we studied under a bit. Again, this goes back when we were in Mobile, and he was a rightly divider, and I guess it's what they call a hyper dispensationalist. I mean, really the Acts 28. And so you can, if you start finding things contrary to what you're thinking through your studies, like the Bereans, this might be contrary to the Word of God. Well, then there's not a reason to go any further. And that individual we had to stop studying under, even though he was rightly dividing the Word, understood the message, the unique message that Paul had as the apostle to the Gentiles, and Interesting enough, 20 years later, he's where he was out here 25 years ago now. Paul and Peter preach the same thing, and let's get baptized, and they just go. So, don't put your faith in men, put your faith in this book. Okay, that's the point of all of that. Okay, let's come back to our study here. So Paul, in 18, goes to Ephesus the first time. He goes to the synagogue first. And like we just saw in the beginning of 18, in the cities before that, same thing, he's going to the synagogue. And if you really studied this out, you'd see in the Acts epistles, why does he always say, to the Jew first? And also to the Greek or to the Gentile. Well, we better study that out a little bit. Let's go back, keep your hand, again, Acts 18 and Ephesians we'll be going to a lot today. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. You know, we keep hearing about a thing called a promise, right? Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. Keep your hand in Genesis 12. Come back to Ephesians 2. Okay, Ephesians 2 is where we really are going to read right now. Verse 11. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. Now watch these phrases here. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of, what's that word? Promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now, and watch those words, but now. Okay, they are key words. Okay, covenants of promise. Let's now go back to Genesis chapter 12. And if we just start here, Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And of course, there's the promise later, even when he's 100 years old, that he would be the father of many nations, of course, through Isaac. Okay? So the promise is made to Abraham. It all starts in, I'll bless them that bless thee, I'll curse them that curse thee, is the two phrases I'd like you to really grab hold of right now. Okay? So, in this transitional period, okay, after Christ died, shed his blood, was buried, rose again, spent 40 days, ascended into heaven, 40 days with the 12 apostles, and about 500 others saw him as well. Okay, ascended into heaven at the end of Acts 1. Okay, Acts 2, Peter and the 12 start taking over, start preaching, repent and be baptized. Okay, transitional period. Paul in 9 gets saved. And of course, the 12 at first are afraid of Paul, right? Why? What was Paul doing in Acts 9? He was on his way. He would bound, right? All those that were studying that way, or this way, excuse me, this way, that way, this way, what the 12, were preaching. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But Paul gets saved, but at this point, the Jews are still God's chosen people. And that's the key in the Acts period. That's why in the Acts epistles, okay, so when you see, when you're reading Romans, when you're reading Corinthians, and Paul's saying to the Jew first, also to the Greek, also to the Gentile. Yes, he's the apostle to the Gentiles, but he had to go to the synagogues first, like we saw in two places there in Acts 18. He's still bound by the promise, if you will, back here to Abraham. I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curse thee. Okay? So the Gentiles at this point, Okay, from 20 back. At this point, where were these Gentiles that Paul preached to? In the synagogues. They were a different type of Gentiles, but they were Gentiles that were blessing Israel, if you will. Okay, they realized that to gain favor with God Almighty, they had to be aligning with Israel at that time, with the Jews at that time. Do we have to do that today? No. Okay, it's a difference. Okay, so I guess that's one reason for bringing this up today. You know, what are the differences we see? Again, Jeff kind of coming to the shoreness head and speaking in tongues and healing people. It all goes together in this transitional period. And that's why you don't want to take any doctrine out of the book of Acts. Okay, so he goes to Ephesus here. This group was in the synagogue. Okay, so now coming back to Acts 18. Okay, now, I'm sorry, let's actually go to 19 now. Verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Okay, coming back to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, having said unto them. Okay, and then he starts talking with them. On and on. Matter of fact, look in verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues. And prophesied, and no, don't worry, I'm not going to tell you we should be laying hands on each other and speaking in tongues. I just want you to see it's a transitional period. Okay, you can't get your doctrine out of this book. Okay, it was a transition. It was a transition to get to where we are today. Okay, the grace dispensation that normally is a much bigger parenthesis period. When we're doing our timeline, just that I wanted to keep the book of Acts bigger today. But the grace dispensation in which we live, because this is about 2,000 years here. Okay. These books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay. That's why, yeah, thank you. I'm going, wait a minute, I've got two Philippians up there twice. Philemon, Titus. 1 and 2 Timothy, okay? The prison epistles. Okay? That you can absolutely take 100%. Those Gentiles, and that's where we'll be getting to later on in the study, but Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to see two groups of Ephesians, and we're trying to set up the first group here right now. Acts 18, Paul goes there once. Acts 19, Paul's back in Ephesus. Okay? And he's doing things that are kind of Jewish in nature. Okay, because we're still bound, because Paul is still bound by the promise made to Abraham back here. I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curse thee. Okay. Down in verse 8. And he went into the synagogue. Here he is going into the synagogue again. And he spake boldly for the space of 3 months. That's a pretty decent time period. Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Okay, so once again, he goes to the synagogue first. This time it took about 3 months for the Jews to get upset with him about the things that he was preaching of that way. Okay, this way, and that way, watch that in the book of Acts. This way would be Peter's message, if you will. That way being Paul's message. Okay, study that out. But you will see that throughout the book of Acts. This way, that way. Okay, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. By the way, look at verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Okay, he is working miracles even here in Acts 19. No, it's not for today. The book of Acts is a transitional book. Okay, there are Acts epistles, there are prison epistles. Same gospel that Paul preached, that being the key. I want to emphasize that. I'll probably emphasize that 4 or 5 more times before this day is over to make sure we're all clear on that. It's Paul's gospel is the same from when he first started preaching it. Acts 13 being the first time he started he got up and preached. Okay, so if we back up here, we see he's in the synagogue for 3 months. The Jews don't like what he says, so he has to leave the synagogue. But did he not go to the Jew first? Okay, just like the promise. Okay, bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. Okay, so the Gentiles that he was preaching to here in Acts 19 were following. Okay, this bless them that bless thee. They realized that they had to be in the synagogue, okay, if they wanted to gain favor with the Lord, if you will. Okay, so then, after 3 months, Jews are upset, kick him out of the synagogue. Where does he go? School of Tyrannus. And he teaches there for how long? 2 years. Okay, now, I was giving you some stories earlier about being in different places for a few years, getting to know people so well that the girls didn't want to leave and go somewhere else. My point is this. Do you think Paul got to know these people fairly well? Okay, and this is just one trip now. He was already there one other time. Here's the second trip he's there. And he's there for 2 years and 3 months. Right, 3 months in the synagogue, space of 2 years, school of Tyrannus. Okay, probably knows these people quite well. Okay, that being the case. Okay, chapter 20 now. Chapter 20 and verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus. Okay, we're talking about Ephesus again. Okay, and he called the elders of the church of Ephesus, if I may. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. By the way, there's your churches and houses. Okay, if you study the book of Acts, especially where Paul is, you'll see a lot of churches and houses. Okay, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. He's still going to Jerusalem. At the certain times, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Acts 20:24 is one of my favorite verses. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and a ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more, is a key phrase I want you to see right there. Okay, so he's bringing the elders together of this church. He's been there several times. He's gotten to know them quite well. And he says here, you shall see my face no more, in Acts chapter 20, verse 25. And jump way ahead to the end, start in verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he said some more, which we'll come back to. He kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all, the last verse in this chapter, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And he accompanied him onto the ship. Does it sound like they knew him pretty well? They wept when he's leaving. They fell on him and kissed his neck, it says, okay? It sounds to me like they had a pretty strong relationship. Would you agree? Does it sound like some of those stories I was trying to share with you earlier about my girls, and we'd be somewhere for 3 years or 4 years, and they get good relationships going, didn't want to leave. But by the time we got to the next place, okay, well, like now we're in Denver for 3 years right now, and when we first got moved there from Texas. You know, like, don't expect me to go to University of Colorado because I'm going to UT, you know, when I get out of high school. You know, that's what we were hearing 3 years ago as we moved. Now we can't even get her to apply to UT. Of course, trying to get her to apply to Alabama. But anyway, that being said, you develop strong relationships in 3 years, and you probably remember those. Okay, so remember that part. Verse 38, let's read that one more time before we go back to Ephesians 2. Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Okay, now let's go to Ephesians 2. I'm sorry? That he should see their face no more? I got two straight men now. Stay tuned. That's exactly the point. Okay, that's going to exactly be the point here when we go into Ephesians 2. By the way, let me come back to my Miles Coverdale statement. Ephesians 1:1 probably ought to be something we ought to read at some point here. You know, by whom, of whom, and to whom. Okay, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay, so who wrote the book of Ephesians? Paul. And he is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, right? And who did he write it to? To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay, you need to understand who wrote the book, who's he writing it to, under what circumstances. Again, this absolutely... You got to put it in context, and forgive me. I'm going to give a story. I know I gave it twice last time, okay? But one of the most successful men, by the way, the world defines success anyway in business, that I ever worked for. I mean, you almost get tired of hearing. He'd always have four or five things, but you know what? Everybody in the whole company knew those four or five key things. So here's context. So if Rick says, hey, Steve, you know, we're talking on the phone, and Rick says, hey, Steve, by the way, what time do you get up in the morning? I get up, you know, between 5 and 5:30, Rick. What time does your wife get up? Well, she gets up about 6. Oh, so you beat your wife up in the morning. I sure do. You beat her up every morning? I sure do. Okay, now, depending on where you come into that conversation, it can have a whole different context, a whole different meaning, can it? You have to hear the whole story. Or somebody's going to jail, okay? Okay? And like we... I love this. Matter of fact, I'll tell you who taught me this one, so that's the word context. The guy I told you about earlier, so you can still learn from people. The guy that was a Super Acts 28, or this is 25 years ago, who's now back over here. But he's the one that showed me this. He said, you know, if you take the text out of the context, you're left with nothing but a... And how true that is. That's why you need to test everything that any man teaches you from this book. Do not take it out of context. You can prove anything you want to. I could stand here and prove to you tonight that you should be speaking in tongues if, I took something out of context. I could show you how we should handle serpents. If, do not take this out of context. If we took it out of context, I could take you to Mark 16. Okay, and we should be handling snakes. Okay, and I used to live in an area of the country where they did a lot of that. No, we never went there. But the point is, if you don't put things in context, if you don't test things by the whole Word of God, even though we're rightly dividing, there's only 88 pages in here that are to us, and there are these books right here, written by the Apostle Paul, okay? But the whole Bible is for us to know how God dealt with different men at different times, different mankind, right, in general, different times throughout history. And there are several ways you can find through the book of Acts in a short time period. Okay, so we rightly divide. So even though we are dividing, but it all comes down to make sure we know what we need to do to be saved today. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 right there, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, put that with the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, there's your salvation. Okay, very different from what comes before Paul's writings, very different than what comes after Paul's writing. Get to the book of James, boy, you better do some works, right? Hebrews, what happens once you've been enlightened by the faith and then you fall away from those? It is impossible. Impossible. Not sort of possible. Impossible in the book of Hebrews. Okay, so things change throughout this Bible. Okay, because the Lord deals with mankind in different ways in different time periods. Okay. Am I supposed to stop in 5 minutes? Is that on this one? Okay? Okay, so we'll come back, but we'll kind of set up where we're going to come back to. And it does come back to the question that was asked about Paul. So let's just go through 11. So Ephesians 2, 11, 12, 13, and 14, and then we'll stop. Okay, 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, and we'll come back to it, that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, the synagogue where Paul was preaching back then. From the covenant, verse 12, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. They had no hope because they were strangers from the covenants of promise. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Okay, and then we're going to come into this in the second part, because I'm definitely getting a signal over here. I'm over my time. So see you in about 15 minutes, right? Thanks.